I'm glad that we're as men together. It's a great time to be together. Let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, you are an incredible God, and we are so grateful that we get to talk to you, that we get to serve you, that we get to know you. God, it's an incredible thing to know that you loved us first, and that is the only reason why we love you back. Father, I pray that we are men who live such great lives that it brings a smile to your face. Father, I pray that we are men of great faith who walk this earth as it's not our home. Father, I pray that we firmly establish our place in heaven. Mm-hmm. Father, please be with this time. Please speak through me. Please be with this time. And I pray that it's helpful and great. Father, we love you. It's your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Fellas, it's great to be here.
Amen.
I always enjoy talking to the men. I love these times once a month for us to just come together as men. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Richard preached a great lesson on Sunday and Thursday.
Amen.
Just us needing to be workers and going out into the harvest field and doing the work that God has called us to do. It was very challenging. Hopefully this past week you've been making some changes. If not, hopefully those changes will come. But tonight, the lesson that I'm going to be talking about, the title is Embrace the Mission.
Come on.
We need to embrace the mission. So let's go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them.
Amen.
Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Amen.
Great, powerful, short little passage here. Yes, we see Jesus doing his thing that he does. He's going around preaching, healing, and just giving to the people. And he looks out and he has compassion on them because he sees them how they are. He sees them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You know, most of you have heard this, but sheep are surprisingly dumb.
Yep.
How many of you have ever been a shepherd? Oh, okay, that's awesome. I didn't think I would get any hands, but maybe you can ask them how dumb sheep are. But without a shepherd, sheep have no hope. Sheep must be led to grass, or they will not look for it themselves. They must be led to clean water, because they'll drink whatever they find. So even if they smell it and they're like, "That smells terrible," they'll still drink it. So they must be led to clean water. They have no defense from predators. They can run. Some sheep and goats actually pass out from fear. Without the shepherd, they're surely going to be devoured. And most everyone that Jesus was talking to and around this time, they knew the need for a shepherd. They knew, hey, wow, a sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. Oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine that. I think of today's analogy would be saying they're harassed and helpless, like a little child in the deep end of the pool without floaties. And everybody had the floaties on. Or I think a more appropriate one is harassed and helpless like an infant without its mother. An infant without its mother will not survive.
That's right.
And we are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to think back before you were with God, before you were a disciple, what your life was like. I want you guys to, I know we can share a lot, But I want you to share a little bit about what your life was like before God. So go ahead and just raise your hand. Yeah.
Chaos.
Chaos? Okay. Do you care to expound on that?
Nothing was in line. Nothing was just all over the place.
Okay, all over the place in chaos.
I'd run after stuff and it'd just be empty, right? So, I mean, women was a good example. You run after that and you end up doing stuff that after it was over, you felt like, wow, this really, it was like you turned to ash in your mouth.
Right.
That's the best that I can think about.
Okay.
Foolish?
Yeah.
Completely dumb.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, I was lost. I didn't even know that.
You were lost and didn't even know it. I was the same way. Yeah.
I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. And chasing after things, thinking I was doing the right thing, when I wasn't. Mm. I didn't really know the definition of the truth. Everything was just kind of like, well, I think this is right. I don't know. There's no real defined truth.
Yeah, totally.
I was ignorant. I was running after pleasure, but never finding fulfillment. Mm.
Totally. Yeah, Richard.
I was chasing success and money. That was what drove me. Like, very well.
Yeah. You know, for my life, I had no meaning and no purpose. It was aimless. And it was so aimless that I just wanted someone to literally tell me exactly what to do each and every day. And that's where I was like, well, the military does that, so let me join the military. I had no aim and purpose in my life. There was no fulfillment. There was nothing. And you and I are no different than the people out there. Mm-hmm. No different. You know, they may be chasing money or thinking they're saved or just going after nothing and finding no pleasure. They may seem like they have it together. That you look at their outward appearance or their house or their car. You're like, wow, that guy has it together. But it's not the truth.
Right.
You know, do we view people the way Jesus viewed them? Mm. Jesus saw them for what they were. Harassed and helpless. It doesn't say Jesus saw them and thought they might be harassed and helpless. It says, because they were.
Yep.
Because they were. And notice here that when Jesus turned to his disciples, he didn't say, guys, we need to ask God to increase the harvest. He didn't say, guys, we need to pray for open hearts. He didn't say, we need to ask God for more people. He said, we need workers. That's what we need. We need workers. Are you a worker? Are you working? Look, in the past 2 weeks, would someone look at your life and say, that is a worker in the kingdom of God? We have to have these sober judgments about ourselves. Man. We need to ask people. And it's something else that we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe the Bible is true? Do you believe this scripture is too true? When Jesus says the harvest is plentiful.
Amen.
Abundant. Like so much fruit you can't pick it all.
Man.
It is abundant. Do we believe this is true? Embrace the mission. This is our mission. Embrace it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians.
Amen. Amen.
Chapter 5. We're going to start here in verse 17 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us, to you and to me, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is an encouraging passage. Amen. And it starts out encouraging. It says, we are a new creation.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing when you think about that. Who you used to be is no longer.
Right.
No more. The old is gone. The new has come and it is here now. The shy, insecure, self-centered man that we used to be is gone.
Man.
It's gone. And the new has come. And it says, this is all from God. God did it. God changed us.
Amen.
God made us new. God called us out of the darkness and put us into the light.
Amen.
He took us out of the pit of muck and mire that we were in and put us on the rock who is Jesus.
Amen.
That is what God has done for you and I. And when he put us on the rock, he said, here. Here is my message. Take my message and give it to everybody. That is what he has done for you and I. And it's a message of reconciliation. You know, this is good news.
Amen.
Because reconcile means to be made friends again.
Mm.
To be made friends again, it also means cause to coexist in harmony.
Amen.
You know, when we were darkened in our mind and in sins, we were enemies of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And our message is, now you can be friends with God again. You can be made right because of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not a hard message. It's not difficult to understand. It's not even a bad message. This is a great, encouraging message that we have. And praise God for that.
Amen.
Imagine if it was a difficult message. Would we even tell anybody? Because we have a great message and it seems like we're not telling many. You know, collectively, we're not really spreading this message. No, we have individuals, and some of us at times are doing it, but collectively, as men in this church, we are not spreading this message.
Come on.
And it is a great message.
Amen. Right?
Verse 20. It says, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through you and I. God is counting on us. He's making his appeal through us to man.
That's right.
That's an amazing thing. And that's such a privilege and honor to have that. God has entrusted us with his message. Do you realize that? God has entrusted you with his message. You personally, and specifically, he's entrusted you with his message. All we have to do is open up our mouths. Just open up your mouths. And just, you can just say this. You know, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a great place to start.
Yeah.
You know? That is the gospel. And that is what we are called to preach.
Right.
I want to see a raise of hands. Who here is a minister? Awesome. I'm glad more of you raised your hand. You know, Perry Parks, where do you work?
GE.
You are the minister of GE.
That's right.
Is Glenn here? Glenn Hayes? No? But think about where you work. or where you go to school. You know, when I said if you're a minister, all of us should have raised our hands.
That's right.
We are all ministers. Now, I can't go into GE, you know, knock on the door and walk in and start reaching out to people that Perry can. I can't do that. I can't reach the people Perry can reach. And vice versa. You are specifically where you are so that you can reach those people.
Come on.
Amen.
Do you see that? It is you. It is your ministry. You are a minister and you have a message for the people around you. It's not this big collective thing. God has given you a field to harvest. Mm-hmm. You personally have a field to harvest. Mm-hmm. Are you harvesting it? Is your fruit rotten on the ground? Are you picking it? Are you doing your work? Or are you just going to job to get a paycheck and hating it the whole time? Do you not realize that God has put you there for a reason?
Come on, Steve.
Amen.
To reach your coworkers. To reach your family, to reach your neighbors and your friends. That is why you are where you are.
Amen.
That is your harvest field. And get to work. Embrace your mission.
Yes. Amen.
Embrace it. Verse 21, again, the way to embrace it is just to open up your mouth and just let people know about Jesus. Let them know about God. Let your life reflect it and show it. We have nothing to fear. We can literally walk around with our Bibles out all day.
Mm-hmm.
We can walk with our Bibles all day. And nobody's going to say nothing. And they can't do anything to you.
That's right.
They may ask you a question. Hey, why are you carrying that? And then, let me tell you. But anybody that's hating on you is not going to ask you. Do you realize that? I believe that the majority of us do not realize the impact that we can have. Mm-hmm. You can have great impact in where you are. God chose you and has you where you are for a reason. The people around us are harassed and helpless. Mm-hmm. And you are the shepherd to show them the way.
Amen.
You are the shepherd to show them the way. They are harassed and helpless and they have no hope. So God puts you in their lives and entrusted you with that. And all he says is open up your mouth. That's all he wants. Are we doing it? Give them the message and show them the way.
Amen.
We are dumb. We are sheep. We need to be shown where fresh water is. We need to be shown where grass is. We will just sit there and stay and die. We cannot protect ourselves from the enemy. That's what the shepherd does. And God has sent you into that harvest field to show those people the way.
Amen.
Amen.
And this can only be done with God. Because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, our harvest field is planet Earth. You know, 7 billion people there are now. That's a lot of people. That's a big mission, you know? And so this cannot be done without God.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a plan. Amen?
Amen?
So let's go to Acts chapter 2. I'm glad God is with us and helps us. Because we wouldn't be disciples if that was the case. It was all on man.
Right.
Now we know this chunk of passage. We're going to start up in verse 46. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen.
You know, our brothers and sisters in the first century met every day in the temple courts. That was their fishing hole. Let's go to the temple. Let's go to the temple. That was where they met people. That's where they preached. That's where it went down every single day. And that's, just thinking about that. Every day? Wow, the message got spread quickly. That's where all the people met. And it says they were enjoying the favor of the Lord. They were just living life to the full. They were going, I don't know if it was Bible talk or just church every day, or I have no idea what it was, but they were praising God. People were preaching. I'm sure Peter kept getting up there and just laying people out. You know, it was an awesome time, and they're just enjoying the favor of the Lord. They're eating at each other's homes. They're just loving it. They're giving to people. And notice what it says. It says, the Lord added to their number.
Amen.
It doesn't say the cunningness of the apostles' preaching added to their number. Didn't say the good looks of this brother added to their number. Or the athletic skill, or this or that. It says the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord added to their number. God does the work. And that is a huge relief.
That's right.
Talk about like weights off your shoulders. That is a huge stress reliever. Thank you, God, that you do the work. And here's the key. We just stay close to God and open our mouths.
Amen.
And God will do everything else.
Amen.
God will do it all. You know, they obviously didn't have like all these meetings and like, okay, how can we reach these groups of people? They're like, let's just go to the temple courts. Let's praise God. Let's just talk to people and serve them and help them. That was their plan, because that's what Jesus did. He walked around and said, let me help you, let me help you. Hey, let's do this. You know, they weren't having like these little scheming parties. They just trust God, and they opened their mouths, and they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about how you were met. Is that a coincidence?
No.
Not at all. You know, maybe it was a friend or a random person or another family member. I have no idea. But it wasn't just some, oh, that just kind of happened, I guess. You know, for me, I was in Gainesville, Florida. I was walking on campus. I saw three guys throwing a Frisbee, and I walked up to them, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah? I believe God put those people in my path for a reason. And there was another disciple who was in my class. You know, God does all the work. He sets it up. He puts people in your path. He's been working on their hearts. He's been preparing them. And imagine, you're entrusting your message to a guy. You've been working on this guy for 10 years. And your instrument just sees them and walks by.
Come on.
I think I should talk to them. No, I won't. Just walks by them. You know, how many times have we done that? God puts it in your heart. Just talk to them. You're like, oh, I really want to, but that's going to be awkward. That's going to be uncomfortable. God has been working on people. We don't even know how long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he will give you the words. And he will show you the way.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. Now, some people that ended up becoming disciples that I met, I remember they're like, I remember the first thing you said, and it was really dumb. And I was like, wow, that was a dumb thing to say. But they still became disciples. You know, God still worked. You know, if we just open up our mouths, God will work. God will do amazing things.
That's right, man.
Mm-hmm.
Our brothers and sisters had this on in the first century. They had it on. They knew the task that God gave them, and they embraced it. They took it on as theirs. And we can look at another example in Acts chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1. Well, kind of, whatever, 1.5. I don't even know where. Okay. So it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen, mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Yeah.
Man. That fires me up. This is a difficult thing to imagine, but imagine one of us in here was killed for preaching. Publicly murdered for preaching. Or you're having a Bible talk and someone is killed publicly because of that. What would your reaction be? Would you go in hiding? I mean, would you stop carrying your Bible? Would you not talk to anybody about God or church?
I would for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of like till the heat's off.
Yeah, till the heat's off. But, you know, what would your response be? Their response was, I'm going to preach the word.
Amen.
Wherever they went.
Yeah.
Even with the threat of death, it could not keep them from preaching.
Amen.
I mean, imagine that. Men and women being dragged out of their houses. That is not a pretty sight. They're dragged out of their homes because they are Christians. And even that could not keep them their mouths shut. How deep is your conviction to seek and save the lost? How easy is it for Satan to shut you up? Is it just one person looking at you funny? One person turning you down? Hey man, you want to come to church with me? No. Okay. And then the rest of the day or the rest of the week, you're not inviting anybody. No. You're discouraged. You're like kicking rocks. Well, God, I tried. Imagine your life was literally on the line. Would you even be a Christian? I think that was one of the great things in the first century. There was no lukewarm Christian.
Come on.
Because if you were a Christian, you could have died.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no persecution, it allows us to be lackadaisical and just be nonchalant. Yeah, I'm a Christian. There's no threat behind that. You know, I know that some people look at us weird or will talk about us behind our backs, but big whoop, you know? Isn't obeying God and fulfilling your purpose more important than that?
Amen.
You know, literally, if you were going to be imprisoned, isn't obeying God and fulfilling your purpose more than being free? It's much more important. Do you see the power when someone accepts their calling from God? These men and women accepted their calling from God, and nothing could stop them. Nothing.
Amen.
Death. That's like the biggest thing for us. That's the biggest threat on our lives, is death, and that could not stop them. It's pretty similar to the cross. Now, you know, think about before you were a disciple. You know, you've always heard, yeah, Jesus died for our sins. He was on the cross. You know, he died for the whole world's sin. There wasn't much power in that, right? When it was the whole world's sin. But when you took ownership of the cross, and you took ownership that your sin put Jesus on the cross, how different was your life? It forever changed. Your life was forever changed because you accepted it. You embraced it. You embrace the cross. Imagine if you embrace the mission. How different your life will be. Imagine that. If you accept the calling from God and embrace your mission and your purpose. God has surely called you and I to this task. To seek and save the lost.
Right.
To be a worker in the harvest field.
Amen.
There's no doubt, no question about that. He has called you individually to this task.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time to embrace that. Embrace the task. Know that you're not just there for no reason. God has you exactly where you are for a purpose.
Right.
Embrace it. Accept it. I want to get practical. So we know that God called you personally to your mission field. Right?
Right.
I've established that over the past half an hour or whatever. God has called you personally to his mission. So knowing that you are where you are for a reason, and that reason is to reach people, you need to pray every day.
Amen.
God, lead me to the open people.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
That's why you are where you are. It's not for a paycheck, it's not for a diploma, it's not for whatever. It's to reach these people. So pray for them. Pray that God will lead you to them.
Amen.
Every single day. It's amazing what God will do.
Yeah.
God is just waiting for us to repent. It's just there. It's there for us. And he's waiting for us to repent.
Amen.
Pray that he will open your eyes to the harvest.
Amen.
Satan can discourage us. He can get in our heads and totally twist things around. Scripture is scripture. God does not lie. The harvest is plentiful. That is not a lie. That was not just a then and there moment. That is forevermore.
That's right.
So pray that God will open your eyes. Pray for great faith and victory. Usually all it takes is one yes or one Bible study and you're fired up. I could knock on 100 doors and when I get that one yes, I'm like, it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And I forget all about the other 99 weird looks I got. Set a goal for yourself. In every field, at every, I could say every job, there are goals. Whether that's financial goals or growth goals or whatever. Everybody has goals. The reason for goals is because if you don't have goals, you'll just sit where you are. But when you have goals, you'll stretch yourself. Have a goal. The next 2 weeks, I'm going to invite X number of people. Or I'm going to talk to X number of people about my quiet time that I had that day. Or whatever. Set a radical goal that makes you feel a little uncomfortable. Like, oh, that's going to be hard. Or maybe it's that coworker that you've never talked to that's intimidated you. Or I have no idea what it is for you. But set goals. Also want you guys to really pray about this and do this. Set a goal that in the next 2 weeks you will be in a Bible study.
Oh,
if the harvest is plentiful, which it is, getting in a Bible study in the next 2 weeks is piece of cake.
Amen.
Piece of cake. That's like if you're in Florida digging a hole and finding sand. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you talk to people, people are open. They are receptive. You will get in a Bible study. Pray about that every single day. God, today, who is it going to be? And you just wait. And when you're praying about that, that person walks by, hey, hold on one second. I think God put you in my path. You know, I prayed about you today. It's going to be amazing what God is going to do.
Amen.
It's amazing. Many of us have many, many stories. All of us have stories because we've all been met. I want you guys to think big. Think faithfully. And let people know what your goals are. When you let people know what your goals are, it serves you two purposes. The first purpose is that they can pray for you.
Yep.
Amen, bro. That's a great goal. I'll pray about that. And number two, they keep you accountable and can encourage you.
Yep.
If your goal is, hey, I want to invite 10 people to church by next week. All right, bro. It's Wednesday, and you're like, oh, man, I got like three people. Hey, bro, you need to do this. That's what encouragement is. God is with you. That is your goal, 10 people. Come on, bro, let's do it. Let's go out there right now. Now, I heard someone once say that you're never really ready to change until you tell someone about it. Because you can, oh man, okay, I want to lose weight, or I want to do this, or whatever it is. I want to change this in my character. You're not really ready to change until you tell someone. Because when you tell someone, it's out there. And that's like, ooh, okay, kind of vulnerable now. It's out there. People will ask you about it. So let your goals be known to people around you. Amen?
Amen.
Embrace the mission. Embrace it. I want you guys to embrace the mission that God has given you. And at times, we need to use our spiritual eyes. Let's go to 2 Kings. And this is an incredible passage. I'm sure most of you know what passage it is. 2 Kings chapter 6. Man.
Come on, Peter.
Verse 16. Don't be afraid.
Come on.
The prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
Amen.
And Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Amen.
Chariots of fire. I don't even know what that looks like, but that is awesome.
Yep.
Elijah was like, man, you have no idea.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That whole time he saw him, he's like, God's got this. This is easy. I mean, I feel bad for that army. I feel bad for him. And he opened the servant's eyes and he saw. If we could see what is going on. If we could see, maybe an angel is over someone. If we could see how God has been working and moving in these people's lives, we would have no fear.
That's right.
That's right.
We would have no fear.
Man,
we'd be super confident. We'd be like, all right. All right, it's you. All right, come on over here. You know, it's just amazing how much God works.
Man.
God is working all the time.
Man.
Man.
And he has a message for each one of us. A message to give. The message was given to us, and he calls it to give to others. Imagine God saying to you, I am with you. I am with you. Go. I want to make my appeal to man through you. I believe in you, and I trust you. That is exactly what God has told each and every one of us. Exactly. He wants to make his appeal to man through us. Do we deserve it? No. Is it awesome that he gives it to us? Absolutely.
Amen.
We must embrace this mission. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we have a couple minutes, but I want to kind of get some sharing going on, some feedback, what your guys' thoughts are.
I think that's awesome. That's true that we have to embrace the mission. And that God, I can't imagine where I was talking about it with somebody today, where I would have been, you know, if Jimmy didn't talk to me whenever that he reached out to me, you know, I was praying about it yesterday. If he didn't talk to me, if Melvin and Mr. Richard didn't get through me to study, then where would I be? You know, where would I be doing? You know, and just to think about it and think that other people need to have that chance. And all it takes is for me to say something. So, that's awesome.
I think if anybody has an issue in their life to deal with and can't figure it out themselves, come to your brother and talk to somebody, like you're saying. Just tell somebody, and somebody can help you.
Amen.
I think the concept of you saying, if you could just see, you could just see what's really going on around you. You would have no fear. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. That was great because that means, like you said, we're each a minister of where we are. We could just see what God is doing in the people around where we are. We would be doing 10 times. We'd be blowing it out. So it just kind of reminds me of not only the purpose that we have, but of the power we have been given to fulfill that purpose. I mean, I'm excited about it. I appreciate you.
The two things you shared, I really appreciate the message. One was about it being good news. Yeah. It is good news that we have to share. And that made me excited. Wow, that's true. I do have good news to share, and good news about Jesus. Other part of it is about Jesus not praying for, because I know I pray a lot for people to be open. People are open.
Yeah.
You know, pray for me to be one of the workers to go out into the harvest field and to find those people that are open, because they're there. And so that really gave me a lot of faith and a lot of vision to share the good news, but also to look and see that there are people, that the harvest is plentiful, and I have to be one of the workers.
Bro, I just wanted to thank you for the message. It was very convicting. When I think about embracing, I embrace things I love, people I love, and I know one, you know, if you've been a disciple for a while, one of the things you got to think about all the time is, am I in love with the things that God is in love with?
Amen.
And God loves people. He wants people to know him. And that's a daily, you know, prayer for you. You know, God will give you that heart. That's not a heart that we can give ourselves. God has to really give us a heart for the things
right.
He has passion for. And bro, I really appreciate the call.
Amen.
It's a challenge for us.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I thought about Fred reaching out to me, and I definitely didn't look open. You know, like punk kid wearing some crazy clothes and whatever. But that's what drives me away a lot of the time from reaching out to people, is because they don't look open, or they just look like they've got their life and they're doing their thing and they're not willing to listen or whatever. And really, God is working in everyone's life. I don't think I could point to somebody and be like, no, God's not working in that person. But, you know, it's everybody.
Yeah, true.
So not to look at the outward appearance.
Thank you for pointing out the fact that we need to set goals, we need to pray about those goals, and we need to share those goals. Because I think that, you know, there's many other things that we do in life, and we have a direction. You know, we have a plan, right? And, like, this is the most important thing that we're going to do on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and we go about it, just assuming that it's going to kind of happen, and that's, then it just doesn't happen that way. It has to be on your mind, and you have to have some sort of a plan. Like, you know, I'm going to open my mouth today, or I'm going to do this and do that. So I really appreciated that, because without that, it's just kind of a pie in the sky dream, you know.
All right, totally. Yeah.
I think it has to do with just our courage, just finding courage in God. I think a lot of times we look at ourselves like it's going to be me that's going to convert this person, me that's going to make an impact. And a lot of times, you know, the opposite comes, well, it's not going to be definitely me that's going to make an impact to this person because of our insecurity or say, you know, the looks or the talents or not eloquent or whatever it is that all throughout the Bible, you know, God shows that it's not the most talented, it's the weakest. He finds the weakest person. And I think that's the thing that we gotta draw courage from. Even though I'm the weak, it's God using me. I'm gonna be the one that's gonna make an impact through God. And just like believing that it's gonna be God that's gonna use me.
Amen.
So,
Amen. Totally. Yeah, try.
I'm great at work with that. Lay out the 5-step plan or whatever, you know, how this, and I said, yeah, be great. Someone should get on that, you know. And, you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, it'd be great if I could do that. Yeah, I think I was talking about Malachi, mentioned that Malachi a few days ago. It's, you know, see, all these plans, so I know what to do. And it's just going. God's like, I've told you what to do already. you don't, you just, it's already in the book, you know what to do. All you need is to talk. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not at that place right now, you know. And, you know, remind me, like, just open your mouth, because you'll, if you're going on that, it's like, you'll never be in the right place, because unless you've got, you're not going to be able to do it on your own power, you know. Well, this is going to be awkward. Like, God's like, it's my word. It's not awkward. Yeah.
Amen. So I'm inspired and convicted. Great stuff. God blessed me to be in a Bible study last few weeks, and it's been awesome. But it had been so long before that I had been. And also just opening my eyes to, you know, what this is all about. That is, it is the purpose God's called me to, and look at all the opportunities all around me. And the message just helped me see, I mean, this is what it is. This is what it's all about. It's not a paycheck. It's you know, heaven and hell, relationship with God or not. Yeah. And I need to get all about it so much more.
My name is Frank. This is my first time. But I was kind of happy to sort of study the Word today. You know, the teachings and also understanding God. And we have missionaries. But one of the things sometimes is that we should love God. And the question is, like, do we really know Him? First of all, we lose faith in the idea of God. As I believe, as a Christian, if you're on a mission, you know, we were here for that. As Christians, we all disciples. So sometimes I feel that we know God, we love God, but He loves us even while we're sinners. He came down. But do we really know Him? The stuff that I was so happy that you said some of the visions we had to pray towards, but also some of the things that God had in store. If we could see it, we would really be motivated to do more.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's great.
I want to say, man, you have a lot of insight, man. A lot of stuff you say. I read those scriptures and you just bring stuff all over. I don't know, you got a lot of insight. You have a talent. And what I got for your message today was, I have to be bold. Don't be so timid. You know, you said something about, you said something, I changed myself from being a timid, insecure man that I am to a new creation, basically. And I'm saying, you said a lot of things that are kind of small things, but that's kind of
I think for me it's so easy to be discouraged, you know, where you've invited people and they haven't come, or you just don't feel like there's opportunities. You know, it's been a long time for Sunday Bible with somebody, and I think it's really helped me tonight just to be more energized, you know, to see that people are sheep. They need help, and God has sent me there to help them. And so, you know, I can do it.
Yeah,
man. Guys, you know, a lot of us want to share. Share with other people.
Amen.
Let's inspire one another.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, when you embrace the cross, your life changed.
Amen.
Because you made it personal to you.
Amen.
When you embrace your mission, your life will change.
Amen. Amen. Amen.